Joining us on the line right now, the sideline reporter for the Philadelphia 76ers, one Molly Sullivan. Molly, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Molly.
Hey, no problem. This is Roy and Chris. Chris with a K.
Chris with a K, Molly. How are you?
Good to be here, guys.
Real quick, we were talking Sixers right before you joined us. So let's ask the question that's still on all of our minds because, some people won't let it go. What's the latest on Andrew Bynum?
Good question. Yesterday he talked to the media before the game. He's feeling better, guys, which is promising, at least in one knee, and that would be his right knee, the one that originally had him sidelined. The swelling is down in that one. Now the left knee, which is where he perhaps damaged it during bowling, is still pretty rough. He's still experiencing some pain even when walking. So that's tough. However, here's the thing, guys, is that, Sixers GM Tony DeLeo removed all the timetables last month, out indefinitely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was when he was supposed to return to basketball activity. Now we're looking at December 20th is when his doctor, David Elchek up in New York, is going to evaluate, do an MRI, see what's going on. So really, guys, I know it's killing him, and I know it's killing the fans, too. And the city's ready to give him the key to the city, and that's tough. However, I know that, he's going to get through this. He knows his body, like Doug said, better than anyone. So now we just got to wait December 20th, see what the big doc has to say, and we'll go from there.
Now, Molly, in spite of the Bynum injury issues, this team has some bright spots, particularly the two young cornerstones, Drew Holiday and Evan Turner, who I think have taken a big leap from last season, particularly Evan. And you saw on Friday's game, even when Drew fouled out, he took over, as Thad Young said. Could you just talk briefly about the great improvement from those two?
Yeah, gosh, they're a 1-2 punch, aren't they? They're just fun to watch day in and day out and consistently. Doug Collins said today that every team wants an ultimate closer, right? And who do you want? You want MJ or you want a committee? So these guys have become that. I mean, we saw Evan make a big-time shot against Boston. What was their 3.9 in overtime, right, to get that one-point win, that short jumper? Then we saw Drew last night. And Drew, what impressed me so much, sometimes post-game, I get so worked up. I'm quite passionate as well as you guys, the fans. And sometimes my post-game questions, I'm kicking myself after because I didn't ask him, different things, right? But
right.
Yesterday, post-game, what impressed me so much with Drew was that he had a rough start, right? Mm-hmm. He missed a couple shots, and he missed those two free throws, right, in the fourth quarter.
Right.
He came back, hit that huge jump shot, and really that's what it's all about. That is what the NBA is all about, is playing through those mistakes and still being clutch. And Drew is showing that he's an all-star player. Doc Rivers, I know I'm getting in trouble left and right saying Doc Rivers, Glenn Rivers. I'm not supposed to say Doc in this city. I got the memo. I think I got fined about $50,000 the other night by dropping Doc left and right, so I learned my lesson. Anyhow, Glenn Rivers, pregame, said to us that really Drew is an all-star player. He's playing like one inside the lines and outside the lines, too. He's leading this team. And Evan, gosh, he's such a great young man. And just to see how he's been able to evolve and, he's made, more three-pointers than he did in his first two seasons. Already he's done that. And, the Mark and Malik, my broadcast partners, call it Turnersville right there in the corner. But, it's just fun watching these guys evolve. And it's just such a high character organization. I was with them the last month of the regular season, last season, and then the playoffs, of course. I think, Chris, that's how we met on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And let's dig deeper here. I don't think, Chris, you didn't like me last season.
It's just like the new kid on the block. I had that and I definitely I definitely got punked right now. I think everyone can vouch that you're definitely definitely a fan favorite around here for like for your insight on Twitter. Like I like you're definitely like bringing it on Twitter. I must say, like, even some guy like called you babe. You weren't having it. I loved it. Like,
You know, I'm tough, man. I'm tough. I'm a former athlete. I grew up in Las Vegas. I can hang. I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy in heels is what I always say. So I'm tough. And hey, here's what I love about Philadelphia sports fans, and I'm just so proud to call this city my home now. Is that they're honest, you know, and they'll love you when you do a good job and you show effort and you're working hard, and if you screw up they'll let you know, and I love that because I was a former athlete. So that babe reference, I'm not having that. The hun and sweetheart, not so much. But it's all good, Chris, with a K. I got you that.
Now, Molly, like, it seems like you're a natural on the Twitter. Like, has it always been, like, second nature for you to, like, interact with, like, people and fans in general, like, so comfortably?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I'm a natural, man. That's the best part of this gig is being able to, you know, talk to you guys. You know, I work for the person on the other side of the TV, and I take my role very seriously. So I want to make sure that, you know, I've got my finger on the pulse of this community, of Sixers Nation, making sure that, you know, I'm doing you guys justice. You know, that's important to me. I know I grew up in a household where my father, you know, was taught me everything I know about sports. You know, often would mute the dang TV when a sideline reporter would pop up. So, you know, I grew up in that environment where, you know, you don't want to be that third wheel. You want to get past the headlines and past what you guys have read all weekend and, you know, read on Twitter and so forth and bring something to the table. And gosh, I'm so lucky to work with Mark and Malik. They're the best in the business, our producer, our director, everyone at Comcast Sportsnet. I'm just so fortunate to be a small part of the team. And like I said, I know I got off track there, but just getting on Twitter and talking to you guys is pretty fun. I know for every kind tweet, there's a tough guy around the corner, and that keeps you humble. But at the end of the day, you're only as good as your last game, right? So you do what you can.
Yeah, but that was a great segue, like, because I wanted to talk about, I guess, your other two cohorts. Like, now we have, like, a dream team of broadcasting with you, Mark, and Malik. Like, how great is it to work with those guys? Because Malik, like you, has just become this, like, phenom that, like, I don't know, like, on Twitter and just all over the place. I mean, other than watching the game, people just want to hear what crazy line Malik throws down. Like, may I dance for pink?
We fly with the team, and we roll with the team on the road, and on the team flight home from Boston, he had me cracking up. I mean, I was crying. I was laughing so hard. And I was just, you want to bottle this guy up. You know, he's just such a genuine dude. And he knows so much about the game. And I'm a sponge around him and Malik and my producer and director, everybody, Dee. I mean, Dee Lynam, gosh, hardest working woman in the game. She, I respect her tremendously. And working by her side is pretty darn cool too. But yeah, Malik is just and he's like that 24/7. It's not just when the red light goes on, guys. He is just such a character, and he loves this team and this city, obviously. And everyone that I work with, which it doesn't come by very often, everyone I work with has such deep Philadelphia roots, so they really kind of adopted this girl out of the desert, right, that enjoys talking hoops and doing that thing. So that's pretty cool.
We're live with Molly Sullivan, Sixers sideline reporter for CSN Philly. You spoke of how you're the girl out of the desert. You're originally from Las Vegas. How much of a culture shock was it moving to Philadelphia?
Definitely not a culture shock per se. It's certainly a lot different than Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas. I grew up there. I was born in Montana, which I don't claim, so we're giving you guys here on the Broad Street line.
See, breaking news on the Broad Street line.
How about that? Yeah, we'll keep that in the vault after I click off here, right? But we moved to Vegas when I was, 10 years old. So I just say Vegas. But, you know, living in a real sports city is what it's all about, guys. I mean, it's quite frustrating in Las Vegas, you know, and it's an events town in Vegas. So you've got these, you know, NHL games and MLB, even the All-Star game a few years back, covered the summer league during the summers. And then as a sideline reporter, you travel so much that, you know, you pay your bills in Las Vegas, but you're not often there. So for me to live in Philadelphia, you know, right outside Rittenhouse Square and in the pulse of the city is just pretty exciting. And, it, you know, I do miss the free parking, not going to lie. I miss the 24-hour gyms. I'm up there knocking on the door where I go. And I miss Jamba Juice. I miss my smoothie spot. And I miss my family and my chocolate lab. But other than that, I'm loving it here, and just the way everyone, you know, they say that Philadelphia is a city that will love you back, and that's exactly really how I feel.
Now, you were talking about Summer League and you know, some of your work out in Vegas. You worked for a number of different networks covering, you know, football, you know, baseball, basketball, swimming. What was it about the Sixers that kind of you know, drew you into this job specifically?
Just the fact that it's such a high-character organization, and, you know, I don't know how to put, how should I put this? I went to school at Carolina. I was a swimmer. So, you know, I was used to ACC, rich tradition. The Mountain West Sports Network, which is where I was previously, was in the NBC Sports and Comcast family. So that's how I kind of got linked up here. But the Mountain West is such a young conference, and I'm used to tradition and history and passionate fans. And so to be proud of what you're covering, I don't know if I've said that right, you know, I want to say that lightly, but to be proud of it is pretty fun. You know, as a reporter, as a journalist, that makes your job even more fun. So, you know, I was with them, gosh, my first game was at Indiana, and, you know, I had Bird sitting to my left, and, you know, the first playoff game was at Chicago, and just the rich tradition there. It's pretty special. And to be a part of that, and with this being the 50th season, and to be a small part of that, is something that certainly doesn't go unnoticed.
Now you mentioned you were sitting next to Bird in your first game.
Yeah.
Now I have to call you out because we did a little research before the show. now was it true that you were you a Boston Celtics fan growing up?
Well, okay. First of all, I'm an honest person. I'm not gonna, you know, go around the circles here, but my father, like I said, taught me everything I know about sports, and, you know, whatever team he liked growing up is what I like, and he happened to be a Boston sports fan, so I followed suit. Bird was my guy, I know.
Okay.
Probably 1B if Bird was 1A, but here's the thing, loyalty is in my blood, you know, and the Philadelphia has been great to me. You know, and so going forward, when I have kids in 50 years, that will certainly set their foundation. But yeah, I was a Boston sports fan growing up, and also a big fan of the Bulls. But that's as a kid, you know. You get old, you get wiser as you grow
right,
up, right?
Right.
Hey, no, all I gotta say is, like, I don't know. Like, she may have been a Celtics fan, but she went to Carolina, which means she's not a fan of that college down the road. That's all I gotta say.
Oh.
She just redeemed herself with that.
Well, you know why I chose Carolina? They took me to a basketball game and a recruiting trip. So how about that one?
That's awesome.
Pretty hard-hitting.
Molly, just a couple more questions before we let you go.
Sure.
Just to get back to on the Sixers for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you follow this team more than the rest of us. You have the inside information. If Andrew Bynum doesn't play at all this year, how far does this team go? How far can they go? Can they repeat their success from last year and get to the Eastern Conference semis, or can they even take it farther without Andrew Bynum?
I hate playing that question. You know, I certainly don't have a crystal ball. Look, they're 12-9 right now, six in the Eastern Conference. You know, I have five guys in double figures Tuesday. I don't want to put any limitations on them. I think that with a Doug Collins coach team, they're going to be prepared. They're going to be ready, and they certainly aren't going to disappoint you guys. They're going to play hard day in and day out. Look, Doug Collins wrote down the records of, what was it, Indiana, Chicago, the Lakers, Denver, Brooklyn, Boston today. And through 21 games, you know, the Sixers have the best record of those teams. And Collins said, look, I'm proud of that. I hope our city is proud of that, and you should be, because they've gone through some adversity with their injuries, not only to Bynum, but you look, you had Jason Richardson, who, gosh, is just, you know, a competitor to the core, Darrell Wright, Nick Young, Kwame, Royale Ivy. So, you know, you got to be proud of these guys, and we'll see how far they can go.
Yeah, no, Molly.
But I can tell you one thing. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun, and it certainly won't disappoint.
No, like, the one thing I can take from this season is they are resilient. Like they may have a lackluster game like they did against Toronto, but they'll follow it up with a clutch win versus Boston. So, like, I don't know, in the midst of all that, and the fact that their defense hasn't slipped even with losing an elite defender like Andre Iguodala speaks to the teaching of Doug to these guys, that, like, they're buying in the defense is going to win you a lot of games, so don't shoot the ball 30 times. Like, don't take 30 bad shots.
I'm right there with you guys, and I know that, you know, a lot of the talk that you want to talk about is around Bynum, but what I love, and I love this, is that, you know, looking back 3 months ago, National Constitution Center, right, you had the big press conference, which was so exciting. Jason Richardson had one question at that press conference. All the questions revolved around Bynum. You know, you fast forward to now, and Bynum's had his uniform on one time, you know, his game day, during that was media day. And you got Jay Rich, who is just in his 12th season, scorer's mentality. You just love being around this guy. And so I think that speaks volumes, too, of how this team has been able to step up and carry on. You know, Doug doesn't want to talk about Bynum. It's not fair to his team or really even to the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, you do what you got with what you have, and too much is given, much is expected. So it's going to be an exciting season.
Well, speaking of just transition from that, let's talk about just your career, just kind of wrap it up a little bit. A lot of people listening to our show, they aspire to be media personalities like you one day, at your level one day. If there was one piece of advice that you would give someone listening to our show right now about how to make it in the sports media business, what would that be?
Oh, gosh. How long do you have? you know, I think the number one thing is just you got to have the stamina to struggle a little bit. Not a little bit, a lot, because it's not easy, and you got to work hard. And I think if you're in it for the right reasons and you do things the right way, then you know, your goals are going to be popping. You just, I think that comes across whether you're writing, you know, through your words, through your radio show or on the TV. I think that your audience can tell when it's genuine and when you're, you know, doing it for the right reasons. And some people in this business perhaps aren't, and that doesn't have staying power. So I think if you work hard and you're kind to people, you know, I started off as a production assistant, well, obviously as an intern, but as a production assistant, you know, editing video and doing audio, everything I could get, getting coffee, everything I could get my hands on. And I think if, you know, you're able to be a jack of all trades and do it all and not just, you know, as a female in the sport, you look at all the women before me that have paved the way, Hannah Storm and Doris Burke and Dee Lynam, you know, I'm so grateful to work by her side and how she's paved the way. So I think if you work hard and you're kind to people and you're in it for the right reasons, you'll be successful in sports for sure.
Next up for Molly Sullivan, world domination, people. Stay tuned.
Yeah, come on. You guys are great.
Molly, before we let you go, you know, you're very active on social media and Twitter and whatnot. Just take a few seconds to let everybody know how they can get in touch with you through social media.
The Twitter handle is Molly E. Sullivan. And Elizabeth, I'm a nice Irish lass. but, yeah, you know, I try to respond to everybody. I know one of the guys was laughing at me the other night, because I'll sit down, you know, on our team flight home try to get back to everybody, you know, because if you guys, you know, take the time to tweet me, who am I? I'm just a little sideline reporter, you know, so I should be able to get back to you. And that means a lot because, you know, I know Mark and Malik, we appreciate the loyalty and so does Comcast Sportsnet. So, yeah, tweet me, Molly E. Sullivan, and, yeah. That's all I got.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to spend with us to talk about the Sixers. Molly Sullivan, CSN Philly Sixer sideline reporter. Molly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Molly.
It.
Hey, thanks so much. Let's do it again sometime.
Definitely.
All right.